Most people think I might be female because they don't know if Terry is male or female. And one time I went somewhere and somebody told me, I know the secret. I said, what's that? And I said, your name is actually Eddie Wang and you just pretend to be Terry Marks. And they were totally serious. I was dying.
That's awesome. That's like how Clark Kent awesome. Is actually Superman's
Whoa,
secret identity.
Whoa, don't be breaking that on online. All right,
X-Lay Utherlay might be listening.
That's true.
Eddie hasn't been getting enough love, if you know what I mean.
That is always Eddie's problem, honestly.
Well, I think part of Eddie's problem is I don't know if he recognizes what love is to begin with.
Hey, Donovan, we're going to do a show.
Hey.
It's like we're doing it right now. It's Sweet. Like we just went from not doing a show and rolled immediately into doing it without taking any breaks or pauses whatsoever.
And we're bringing Terry Marks with us.
Hello, Terry. How are you doing today?
From the rainy
I'm
city.
I'm Danny. How are you guys doing?
We're doing pretty good. Has it
I love putting on shows. It's my favorite.
I like shows too. Has the weather cooled down enough in the last few weeks up there?
You're talking about the 90 plus degree stuff we had. Yeah,
yes.
It has cooled down.
Okay,
and
that's
today
good.
It's going to make it to a whopping 71 degrees with overcast skies and light drizzle coming from the southeast.
Man, you've got a newscaster voice, don't you? You were built
we'll
for
right
radio.
We'll be right back after these messages from Donovan Beery.
If we're going to have you come on be our announcer pretty soon.
All right, well.
Donovan has a bio for you that we're pretty sure hasn't been updated since 2005.
And we were determining between ourselves if you've actually done anything since 2005.
Actually, I haven't. Wait, let's see. 2006, I got married. So, no, I haven't done anything since 2005.
All right. Well, Terry Marks is principal of T-Marks, a multidisciplinary creative firm. He's an advisor board member for AIGA. A Seattle chapter, having served for 7 years as a board member, the last four as vice president. Terry serves on the Link Executive Board, having helped found the Link Art Outreach Program in Seattle, which serves as a model for similar programs throughout the U.S. He was also instrumental in the initial development of the AIGA National Design Explorers Program. What is the National Design
Explorers
Program?
Honestly, Terry, I don't know.
Well, you know,
is.
Nobody really knows because it kind of died on the vine, unfortunately. It was ramping up right about the time. I think you might remember it. I think it was called September 11th and the resulting dot bomb that it was on its coattails.
Indeed,
so,
yes.
It was a national initiative to work with fifth graders throughout the U.S. And, it just never came to fruition, unfortunately.
Okay. Yeah, that'll be the kind of thing that, you know, massive national disasters and terrorist attacks will tend to put, you know, a hold on some plans.
The kibosh on a few things.
Righto. Okay, so
now the main thing we wanted to talk about is Terry with Matthew Porter has just written a brand new book, Good Design,
yeah.
Deconstructing Form and Function and What Makes Good Design Work. Now this book comes out, it says August, which is this month.
Sure. Is this available on in bookstores now, or are we just awesome and we
it
have
it? It is now available. I think on August 2nd, Amazon was offering it live. It was available for pre-sale before that, and they actually sent me my my copies, so I'm guessing it's real.
Loving the foil on the cover. And this is
Thanks.
Not even close to your first book. You did I know you did like the color book for Rockport,
right?
Was that the only other book you've got, or have you done several at this point?
For
you do
Rockport,
a lot of writing, I know.
My therapist says it helps me.
Nice.
Actually, with Justin Aarons, we've done, I guess they'd be self-published books, Mr. Crumbly Dreams a Tiger.
Right, we love Mr. Crumbly.
Okay, good. He loves you, too. Also, with Justin, I did the writing for his Rules 1 through 28, the fifth anniversary book for Rule 29. And a bunch of other things. So, in fact, Three Feasts, if you've seen that. It
Dude,
was,
we have Three Feasts. I got a copy on my coffee table right now. We love that book.
Awesome. I coordinated that, worked with the wineries, got the chef, put the locations together, and wrote the book. Yeah. So I've done a couple things.
I need to obviously look at the credits on that book more often. It just sits there. It's just right there. Everybody loves
well, what
it.
What you got to look at in there are the photography, the photos,
mm-hmm.
and because they're amazing. Brian McDonald did a great
they are,
job.
They're beautiful.
And the recipes by Eric Canella. They're amazing. Check out the ceviche recipe. It's brilliant.
Okay, will do. Now, let's talk about good design.
You know what makes good design is a book with a giant chipboard that's probably a quarter inch thick.
You're going to hear this. This
and
is
red
me.
And red foil printed on top of it.
And yes.
some sort of like teal tape for
like
binding.
That.
That's
no,
good design,
yeah.
right?
about as perfect balance.
Well, it's the design that got approved. I'm hoping it's good.
Nice.
And
well,
and
it better be. That's the title of your damn book, Terry. It's not called Sucky Design.
We're working on a book. We're working on a book deal called Mediocre Work.
Yeah, mediocre it's coming along.
Well, let me know because I'll submit.
Right. All right. So tell us about the book. Tell us the story behind it. How did the idea come about? And
I'd love to say it was my idea, but okay. Emily Potts, who's the editor at Rockport, gave me a shout after last year's HAL conference. And we were talking about book ideas, and she had this thing that was unattached. And it was more of a raw idea about instead of just getting all the usual suspects for a design book, and you know who they are. It's usually you two.
Yeah, indeed. And, at this point, it really is.
Donovan's the spotlight. Just the three of you. And really looking at design in more than just a graphic design sense. And talking to people who are, well, my thought was to talk to people who are known and unknown. So we have everyone from Robin Ray and Kit Heinrichs to people like Fumi Watanabe, who you probably haven't heard of, but she is brilliant. So we tried to identify people who would be known, certainly in the United States and out of the States. For instance, there's a gentleman in Japan called Ryohei Sugiura, who three or four people reference and would not give me an interview, but there are gentlemen like Ahn Sang-soo out of Seoul, South Korea, who's apparently the godfather of Korean graphic design. And he had the most lyrical, kind of odd interview, and he was adamant about it. You know, the things that he loved were about finding happiness in his work and helping create more of that and awareness and what was important to him. So it was really an interesting book to do.
There also seems to be quite a bit of love for this for Eames in this book. That's who I know. I mean, it was referenced every other page.
We tried not to edit people. And let me ask you, do you like Eames?
You know, okay, my life experience with the Eames brothers was running into what I could only assume to be cheap knockoffs of their chairs in libraries growing up. And and therefore, I associate that chair design with a cheap knockoff in a, you know, hugely out-of-date library, you know, from Lincoln, Nebraska. So I don't, like, as a designer, I'm like, oh, man, check out that wicked awesome chair. You know, like, because. But I understand that, you know, the influence. You know, and I appreciate that.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think it's good design?
Personally, okay, you know what? It looks hot, but they're not always comfortable to sit in. So I come out in the middle.
I'm also familiar with the knockoffs. So, you know, it's kind of weird because, I mean, if I was raised around the originals, I'd probably love it.
Could be.
Yeah, my parents were too cheap and uncool, too. So actually, I think we had one really nice mid-century modern piece that my mom gave away because she didn't understand it. And she wanted some Queen Anne chairs instead. So
nice. Okay, so about how long did the book take you to put together?
2-3 weeks at the most. No, it was probably about 9 months.
Dude, you had me. Honestly, straight up, you had me on that. I was like, damn, dude's throwing books together over here.
Yeah, he's got 18 coming out this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is the next Stephen Heller on the line over here? He's going to have 200 books by the end of the year.
I just downloaded the text from the internet. Actually, I'm just repackaging Stephen Heller books. No, it took quite a while because we were trying to get an international mix of authors, or excuse me, contributors.
Which I feel like you did a really good job of.
What's that?
I said I feel like you did a really good job of that.
Wow, thanks. It was a little bit mind-bending trying to get in the studio at 3 a.m. so I could call people across the world before they left town or before they left their offices. And aside from getting the interview, the real challenge of a book like this is getting people to submit artwork that you can actually print. So you can get all the release forms. And for instance, Kit Heinrichs talked about the woman who designed all the costumes for the Olympic Open. And it took quite a while to get in touch with her and her people. And they were very, very amenable and helpful. But unfortunately, we weren't able to print any of the images from the Olympics that Kit referenced. But people were very, very helpful. It was like a murder mystery trying to find people. Because in an interview, someone would mention three or four obscure designers or artists. Mm-hmm. And then it was up to us to try to find them, to contact them. So it was a lot of footwork, but I think it came together pretty good.
We got to rock, paper, scissors to see who gets to ask you the next question. Scissors beat paper. Terry, was there anybody, was there any, like, what was the thing that you maybe, like, wanted to get in the book the most but just couldn't find? Was there, like, was it, like, was that sample, was that it? Or was there, like, oh, man, I'd really love to get, you know, this person to contribute, or this guy mentioned this work and that's amazing, but we just couldn't make it happen? Anything that didn't make it in the book that you really wish was there?
Yeah. Where did you fail, is what he's saying.
Yes, where did you fail at?
Well, I'll be really honest. I failed in budgeting enough time between having a brand new child. Well, a pregnant wife and then a brand new child.
Right.
Running my studio and giving myself enough time for rewrites. And that's where Matthew Porter came in. We were getting down to the wire, and it was pretty apparent to me I just didn't have time to get after it. So I called Emily, my publisher, and suggested that Matt Porter help us out with the rewrite, and he did, and he busted it out. And I think we owe a huge thanks to him that this thing came together the way it did.
Nice.
I'm just jumping up and down about it, because when it left, you know, when you've worked on a project so much and it's done, sometimes you just want it to be done.
Right, yes.
I was a little bit there. I was hopeful for it, but I was thrilled when it came back because I had some time away from it. And I don't know if there's much I'd change about it at this point. As far as where we failed, there were a couple people that we couldn't get into the book that I was really hoping to. People like Genevieve Gockler,
mm-hmm.
out of France, who was just brilliant. And you just can't get what's the phrase? You can't always get what you want. So there you go.
That's true. Yes, and I'm honestly not super familiar with her work. What does she do?
I would encourage you to use the Google.
I will hit the Google on that. We'll do it. We'll
right.
do.
Well, Google now, that
now, other than the standard like 27 interviews that you have on asking people what they consider good design, and from that aspect, I really enjoyed, and actually was my favorite part of the book, was the observations and especially the design autopsies that kind of broke up the chapters, where you took an old item, like a wiffle ball, and asked people, like, is this good design?
I was really interested in that, and I didn't cover that when you asked me about the idea of the book. We didn't want to just talk about graph design. We wanted to talk about stuff we encounter every day, three-dimensional objects, objects of use. In some of the design autopsies, we have everything. You know the nail bar, the wonder bar that used to rip nails out of sheetrock? Well, we had the super wonder bar, and we had a carrot peeler, and we had up front you can see, I think it's the can opener from Target, the Graves can opener.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Which we bought so we could shoot. And I'll just, you know, the question was, what makes good design? Is it about form? Is it about function? Is it about the optimal intersection of those two ideas? And I'll just tell you this, that thing broke 3 months after we got it.
Yeah, I'll go on record saying I have bought Michael Graves Target stuff and it breaks. I had a sweet looking mop. That mop lasted about 2 weeks. So whatever, Michael Graves, that's not good design to me, but it looked hot.
I guess they're good for photo shoots.
Oh, but yeah, they look really good. You know, white background dropped out. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and that's why you saw things like the Eames chairs, because we weren't limiting it to graph design. And we were wanting people to talk about their influences and what got them excited about design and interested in design. And even things like the square paint bucket that has the anti-drip lip.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting to hear people talk about that stuff. And the other thing I thought was really exciting is when people like Gail Anderson, formerly of Rolling Stone, now with Spotco, she just let fly. She is a wonderful woman. You know, she won the AIGA medal, and she deserves it. She's done brilliant work, and she brought her best when we interviewed her. She is so gracious. And she talked about all these books and albums that really influenced how she looks at art, literature, and certainly design. And then she started sharing her bottle cap collection. And it was such a different kind of interview. It spurred another portion of the book called On Their Shelves, where we take designers like her and Sean from Adams Morioka and highlight some of their collections of things that inspire them.
Oh.
Yeah, that's where I thought those aspects of the book is where this book differentiated itself from other books that are similar. And as I said, I think that's where the feeling of this book really kind of stands out the best.
I am looking forward to reading it. I have not yet. Donovan, I think
I've been hoarding the book.
Do you want... Are you asking for me to pass you the book?
Okay, and...
The book is... Or do you have one more topic?
Yes.
Okay, then go.
No, you can...
I was going to say the book is Good Design by Terry Marks and Matthew Porter. Available now, apparently, from Rockport Publishing.
Okay, and what separates Terry from other designers, and this is what we want to also talk about, is designing logos for DC Comics.
Yes. I showed up to 36 Point headquarters about, I don't know, a week and a half ago, and there was just a mess of DC Comics in a box. And I was like, dude, what's going on with your comics? And he goes, yeah, I just talked to Terry today, and this dude just sent me, like, mad comics.
Now, Terry, you've done, what, 36, 37 logos for DC Comics?
Something like that. And
name them.
I can't count that.
Done.
Do
go.
Go. Alphabetically.
Why the Last Man, Codename Knockout. Batman Unseen. Batman,
now alphabetical.
The Maidens. I'm sorry. Can I go reverse alphabetical using the Dewey Decimal System?
Yes. Actually, we'd like them chronologically.
Let's see.
Okay.
I can't remember. Too many.
No, that's fine. That's too,
oh, we just did the Doom Patrol, which just came out.
Oh, they're redoing the Doom Patrol now?
It just came out this month, and we did that logo, and they're doing a new book, and I'm supposed to turn in rushes on Monday for Batman Unseen, which is a one-shot with Batman fighting the Invisible Man. So it's kind of 50s B-movies hits Batman. I'm totally excited about it.
I kind of like that.
Now, I kind of like the idea. What kind of research do you have to do to do Batman logos? I mean,
I have to read about 6 or 7 stacks of Batman comics.
Easy.
And, no, I've been a lifelong comic geek, and I tried to hide from it during college when I was trying to be an athlete. But I was participating in national NAIA sports, not NCAA, and NAIA stands for non-athletes in athletics. So, you know, I didn't really get there. But it's just knowing the characters and knowing the genre. And the great thing is I think a lot of good design, graphic design, gets influenced from places out of design, outside of design. So things like these B-movies and everything from movie titles like all the Hitchcock stuff to 50 schlock movies helps influence that. And it's a ball.
Nice. And I know like Batman logos, I actually – know of many people who have just... Terry's done Batman logos. I know Chip Kidd's done Batman logos. I know House Industries, I think, did, like, the official Batman logo with, Batman, like, in suit behind. I don't know. Maybe it was them. But I feel like that's a thing. Like, if you're going to be someone in graphic design, you need to handle a Batman logo at some point. Now, Terry, I teach graphic design out here in Omaha, and I... just went through a project with my students where we're talking an awful lot about, you know, like we ran them through, it was basically a logo design class, and, mm-hmm. you know, we run through like 6 or 7 weeks of just doing symbols. And then I try to turn them over to do typographic logos. And suddenly I run into a huge wall. So one of the things I want to ask you, since all of these logos for DC Comics are essentially mastheads, they're essentially titles, mm-hmm. What is it that makes a unique identity mark out of type? Like, what are the things that you look for to make it unique?
I think it's something like this, be it for a standard company or a comic book, it really has to get behind the story, aside from looking cool or looking bold, and sometimes looking bold is not the thing, even on a comic, it has to get into the story a little bit. We used to talk a lot about being storytellers, and I started being honest with myself and realizing that most of the time you kind of give a nod or a hint as a graphic designer, and it's really difficult to tell a full story.
Right.
You can do some end caps around the story, but this is about story. For instance, Batman Death and the Maidens, it was a pretty rough tale. It was about death and resurrection and Vendetta, and we actually didn't use the computer for the logotype. It was actually all hand-drawn. And most of the logos we do for DC Comics are custom, soup to nuts, hand-drawn, and then created on the computer or finished on the computer. And so it's really about trying to get under the hood of what the story is about. I think maybe in the best sense, when you get to do a book cover, you get to do some of that or even a poster, and you have to say the most you can with this as little things, as few elements as possible. And that's why I think it's so fun. Plus, they send me a lot of comics every month.
Right, yes, which we've seen just the tiniest bit of.
Just let me know if you want more. My wife would love you. So.
Okay, Donovan, do you want more comics from Terry?
Well, I got to finish this stack, but then I will.
You know what I would love? Terry, I would maybe love some issues with logos by Terry, perhaps autographed by Terry. if we get something like that, I would like to see you autograph your logos and send us a batch, and then maybe we can auction those off.
Well, I don't know if they'd have any value. It'd be like a trading card of me. You'd need like 42 tons of my trading card to get.
That's,
like, yeah.
Dude, no, that's the other thing we need. We need to get Vaughn to sign his old Upper Deck packs on the outside. We got to start doing this. We have to find designers to sign their, like, or like an Orbitz gum thing. That's a thing. Terry, I think we're going to start that. We're going to start it with you if you're down.
I am down.
All right.
I'll tell you what, I'll dig up some stuff. There's a couple books that we've done that I really love because they're really well written and well drawn, so I think you'd dig them. We'll send them.
What's the favorite logo you've done for DC Comics, and why would you pick that one?
Just off the top of my head, there are three things that come to mind. One is called Caper. It's a Vertigo comic. It's essentially about Jewish mobsters in the 30s, and I just am really pleased with the way that came out. The other one that comes to mind is Batman Detective 27, which was both the cover, a huge wraparound cover for a hardbound book, and a custom logo type. It was for a section of DC Comics called Elseworlds, where they put regular characters that you know in other situations. And, yeah, I'm totally showing my comic geek here.
Yeah, no,
and
I was going to say, like, I know Kingdom Come was an Elseworlds thing.
Oh, yeah, totally, yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
And in this one, Bruce Wayne never became Batman, but he was pulled into a secret society of detectives that worked for the government, and he was Detective Number 27. And it's significant because Batman first appeared in Detective Comics Number 27. So we readapted that logo type, and we did custom type for that, and I actually got to redesign the Batman bat. And I wish I had an extra. If I can find an extra copy, I'll send you one. It really,
dude, that would be the one.
And I tell you what, I don't want to live in a world where Bruce Wayne does not become Batman. That is not a good world.
I'm interested in a world where Bruce Wayne doesn't become Batman.
And the other one I can think of right away is Why the Last Man. It was just a really cool book, and we got to push the logo a little bit and do something that was not very typical. So
now tell me about that, because I know that's a book that's been around for some time. So
yeah,
was
I think
that for a collection then, or I love it when we just get to sit around and talk comics. Can I just say that? I love this.
Too.
We need to do this more.
Right.
We were called before the book was released, and so it appeared on issues 1 through whatever, and an alternate logo was used on the compilations, the trade paperbacks. And it was a story about a guy named Yorick who had a capuchin monkey, and they were the only males who survived the wipeout of every other male on Earth.
I feel like they're making a movie out of this. I feel like that got
Well, it's
options.
A common theme, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
If they make a movie, it'd be great. It's
Yeah, I've always heard good things about it, never read it. Now that I know that you have a logo on it, I'm going to hunt it down.
Rip off the cover and then read the book.
I'm just going to run into a comic shop, rip off the cover, and dart out. Those guys are big. They can't catch me.
Yeah.
Booyah.
They don't exercise a lot.
Not the
they
guys
look like the guy from
here.
The Simpsons. It's a very rare copy of Mary Worth where it's revealed she's not only a prostitute, but also a lesbian. I don't know if you know this, but apparently the economy is not what it used to be. And so we put together this book of case studies about what to do during an economic downturn.
What do you do during an economic downturn?
Yes. Or is that going to ruin the piece?
Next to people with lots of money. No, well, let me send you this, and maybe you'll kind of get the tip from there. But what we did is we, at the very outside, you probably heard of those Keep Calm and Carry On posters.
Indeed, have,
in
yes.
Britain. And so we kind of adapted that and added to it, and we put together this little effort where we're just putting these posters up all over Seattle, and we've kind of created a little website to catalog what's going on with the gallery. And I don't know, it seems to be popular, and so we're going to just keep making more and putting them up everywhere.
What's the address on that site there, Terry?
It's keepcalmcarryon.org.
Okay, let's send people to that.
And how can people get a hold of this promo piece you did, or is it just unavailable? Is there like a PDF version of it or anything?
Well, if you're in Seattle, you can probably just steal one of the posters off of a wall somewhere.
I support this.
because there's hundreds of them, and we actually didn't make them permanently posted. And just for the heck of it, we made them available, but to cover our arses on shipping, there's a small cost affiliated with the booklet and the poster.
Indeed, so I would imagine. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you can find that on the little website, too.
Nice. Well, we'll send everyone to go check that out. Cool. Donovan, I think that's going to about wrap us up for the show for today.
Yeah, I think that's it. It's been great having you on, Terry. Really appreciate your time.
Hella enjoyable time. And it's pretty, you know, hopefully we didn't interrupt
the
day
the
too
book
bad.
Is good design. It's available by
available
Rockport.
Now from Rockport, MSRP, around $40. Half that goes to the chipboard cover and foil, I am certain. Terry, thanks again.
Yeah,
because
I do
so
those by hand myself.
Show.
Hey, yeah. Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
Now I wanted, like, do they cut it all at once, or do they cut the pages and cut the chipboard cover separately and then assemble them together?
Well, since it's printed in China, and, you know, they have small hands and they're short and they're close to the work, they just do it all by hand.
I was just going to say, it's just little kids just doing it in China. Okay,
mostly.
Good to know.
Okay, yeah. support your sweatshops. Go out and get good design.
Get good design made by little kids in China.
Okay, and we're going to end here this week with a MIG tip.
Oh, hey, we're going to throw
here's MIG Terry, Reyes with our student tip.
We usually have MIG do this. MIG, give us a tip.
All right, and the next design student tip is short, sweet, and simple, but super important. Here it is. Do personal projects outside of school. Here's the thing. When you start interviewing with all of the local employers around your local area, you're not the only one that's doing that. And so what happens is these employers around your area start to see the same projects from the same schools, and it gets essentially boring for them. So if you want to leg up on the competition, show them your passion projects. Show them the things that you worked on in the wee hours of the morning. And by doing that, you show them that you give a damn and that you're kind of in this industry to create and be passionate and not just look for a job. So, to get that leg up on your competition, so to say, show them your passion projects.
Hey, great MIG tip!
That was incredible.
That's how we do those, Terry.
I'm impressed and maybe a little bit embarrassed that I didn't think of that.
That's
okay.
This is true. I always feel that way, honestly.
Hey, one last question. Is Eddie Wang around there anywhere?
Let me see if Eddie's in today. Yeah, he's here. Eddie? Yeah. Hello?
Hey, Eddie, how are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm wondering who is this and why do you want to talk to me on a computer?
Oh, hey, man.
This is the internet's talking to you.
Yeah.
We're here to bring you women.
We're here. We're on the
line. You know, I don't do that at work because they check my cash and my log, so... Don't bother me at all.
You don't have any cash.
No, his cachet.
Oh,
indeed. Well, you know what I'm talking about. Some people.
Yeah. So
don't
anyway,
understand internet because you know I have better bandwidth at home anyway. Terry's so cheap.
We want to know if you would like to come to Omaha because we have many of the ladies here, Eddie. We've shown them your online dating tapes, and they have the interest.
You know a lot of girl in
well,
Omaha?
Kind of. If you would describe a, you know, 55 to 65 age bracket as girls, yes, we have many who are interested. All we got to do is get you here, really.
You know, life is very short, but my desire very long, so that's fine by me.
Yes, okay, we're going to make this happen. We're going to let you get back to your video games, and... which are obviously going on in the background. Donovan, any last follow-ups for Eddie?
No, Eddie. We wanted to see if you'd sing us something to take us out.
Well, you know, I'm feeling kind of shy right now because
studio audience, let Eddie hear it if you want to hear him sing. Anything?
You know, I just can't think of a good song.
Okay.
Something
we'll do it.
To get the lady hot and sweaty, you know.
Yeah, well, we'll come back for that. Maybe next time. We'll get you. Eddie Wang, thanks for being on the
Maybe
the
it's
Reflex
getting
Blue
hot in here, so take all your clothes off. It's very good. You know, I like that.
That's a good... I'm getting hot just right now just listening to that.
That's why I rarely wear, you know, something on the pan because, you know, just more. Very warm.
Yes. All right, thanks to Eddie Wang and Terry Marks. We will see you in 2 weeks.
See you guys.
All right.
Out.
To send questions or comments to the Reflex Blue Show, please visit 36point.com. The Reflex Blue Show is hosted by Nate Voss and Donovan Beery, music produced by Dust Lab. Find out more at myspace.com/dustlab.